the 20s, he gained a certain amount of notoriety as a composer of jazz tunes that many believe were very suggestive in their lyrics. In 1926, he gave all that up, and he concentrated exclusively upon spiritual music. One of Mr. Dorsey's best known songs, and one that I'm sure that you're very familiar with, is Peace in the Valley. In 1932, the times were very hard. This was during the Depression in our country, and Thomas Dorsey, as well as many other Americans, was just striving to make an existence. He was just trying to get by as a working musician at a very tough time indeed. To make a bad situation much worse, the majority of the people did not accept his music. They believed that it was too worldly. The others went so far as to categorize it as the devil's music. But the crushing blow came one night in St. Louis when he received a telegram informing him that his pregnant wife back home had suddenly died. Dorsey was so filled with grief that his faith was shaken to its very roots. But instead of wallowing in self-pity, he turned to the discipline that he understood best and learned early in life, and that was his music. And in the midst of his deep agony and personal tragedy, he wrote the lyrics to a song that I want to talk to you about tonight. Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Dorsey's song was originally written in a way of coping with personal loss and pain, but even today, it continues to bless thousands of others when they pass through the heartaches, the tribulations, and the difficulty of life. It is very pointed, it is very moving, and it is very heart-wrenching, but it is very comforting at the same time if you understand the meaning behind the song. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about Take My Hand, Precious Lord. There's just three verses to this song. And the first verse goes, when my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. In John, the 16th chapter, and in verse 33, Jesus himself made the statement, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Every day in this life, we see the realities of pain, of tribulation, of adversity, of needless suffering, of difficulty, of adversity. It's all around us. Any of us that have been on this earth for any length of time have had to deal with this on a personal level, and that will continue to be our lot as long as we live upon this earth. We see illnesses. We see people growing older and have to trouble with the troubles of the difficulty of life as the body grows older and weaker. We see friends and loved ones die. We see others who are left mangled for life by a senseless accident. We see others who seem to be in the prime of life and some terrible thing overtakes them and turns them into less than really what they would like to be. And for the rest of their life, whatever it might be upon the earth, it is full of toil and struggle. Disasters happen on every corner. This is the time for tornado season, when tornadoes come through cities and towns and wipe out buildings, homes, lives are taken, lives are destroyed, lives are forever changed. And yet, in all of it, don't we try to grasp and comprehend why it all is so? You know, it's of a truth that we all have our burdens to bear. No one is exempt. No one is going to miss it. And all of us are going to have to learn to deal with it the best that we can. I want to read with you a psalm. In Psalm 119 and verse 150, there is a comforting thought given by the psalmist David. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. There's only one way to make sense of the uneven ways of life, the uneven pathways of life that we struggle with daily. There's only one way to make any sense of it, and that is to turn to God's book, his revelation to men. Those in the world seek comfort in sources that have no real comfort. They look for things that there is no relief in. They look for help. They look for solace in things that can never bring them that. And if it does bring them that, it only brings it in a temporary way, but gives no lasting benefit. There are those who have material pursuits. When difficulty and adversity comes in their life, they throw themselves into their work. They throw themselves into material pursuit, and they get lost, they hope, in going after those material things. But you know, the Bible talks about the fleetingness of that. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus talked about that, that if we lay for ourselves treasures upon earth, it is indeed a foolish thing, but we need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can break in and steal. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. The Apostle Paul touched on this very subject in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 10, where he made the great truth that we brought nothing into this world, we will carry nothing out, and that we should be content with such things as we have. We also see that others look for pursuits in helping coping with difficulties of life through alcohol, through drugs, but the Bible plainly teaches in passages as Proverbs 20, Proverbs chapter 23, and 1 Peter 4, that alcohol or drugs or trying to escape reality can give no lasting benefit. It just gives you another problem on top of the other problems that you already have. Others seek some social acceptance or acclaim in the world. Yet those who believe and have faith in God seek for solace in the only place that it can truly be found, and that is in the pages of God's Word. That's why Hebrews 4, verse 12 says that it's powerful and it's living and it's deadly, more deadly than any two-edged sword, because it can get to the heart of the matter. The Bible can give us answers to the heart of the matter of the things that are troubling us. You know, it appears to me that some have comfort with little affliction, while others have many afflictions but little comfort. Why the difference? In Psalms chapter 84, in verse number 11, the psalmist wrote, Psalms 84, in verse number 11, "For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." The Lord can give us what we really need in time of difficulty. He is a light that dispels the awful darkness of difficulties and tribulations. He is our shield when we face the dangers and the adversities of life. When life is at its most difficult, when everything seems dreary around us, we are bewildered at what is happening to us and why. We grasp to understand. We look for the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. We know that the Lord is near us, and the Lord can help us if we will reach out to Him. This is why we will always need God, because there are going to be things that we're going to face in life that we will not be able to understand, we will not be able to comprehend, and if we allow them, they can overwhelm us, shake our faith, shake our determination, and it can hurt our resolve to serve God. We need to understand the truthfulness of the words of Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where Peter commended us to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. There is no one that can care for you like God. Will God grant the sufferer everything that he asked for? I wish I could sit here and tell you that He will, but I know for a truth that He does not. But one thing He has promised, He will never forsake the sufferer in his greatest hour of trial and tribulation. He will not turn His back. He will not turn a deaf ear. He cares, He's concerned, and He grieves with us as we struggle. That's why in Hebrews the 13th chapter, and in verse 5 and 6, there's some very comforting words to us who understand the power and the love of God. "Let your conduct be without covetousness, as be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me?" Brethren, do you ever comprehend the strength of those words? He will never leave us or forsake us. You know, I wish I could stand here and tell you tonight that I've never forsaken God, that I've never been weak, that I've never turned my back on Him. I wish I could stand here and tell you that tonight, but I can't, because the truth is I have been weak. I have turned my back. I have forsaken him. But of a truth tonight, in my short life upon this earth, God has never, in any time in my life, ever forsaken me, ever given up on me, ever just quit listening to me. I know at times I thought that. I know at times I even wondered about that. But I know of a truth by my understanding of the truth of God's word. Remember something the Bible says about itself. God cannot lie to us. Hebrews 6:18. When it says he will never leave me nor forsake me, that is the truth. That is something that we cannot deny. Do we have struggles? Yes. Do we have physical, emotional, financial, even spiritual problems at times in our life? Yes. Does the Bible offer a message of comfort for your heart? Believe me, it does. I want to share some passages with you that I think might help you in time of trouble. They come from the Psalms. In Psalms chapter 18 and in verse number 2, Psalms 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The psalmist also wrote in Psalms chapter 61, in the first verse, Psalms chapter 61. And I would tell any of you that are having difficulties in your life, there is much comfort in the book of Psalms. There are overwhelming comfort because it truly touches the things that happen to us in this life. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Brethren, there's a lot of comfort in that statement. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In chapter 62, in verse number 5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock and my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. My dear friend or brother, when the way groweth drear, when the shadows appear, when the night draweth near, be assured and thankful that our God is lingering near. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. He is our love. He is beside us. He is our rock in time of our greatest need. To those who trust him, to those that remember his teachings and his precepts, they don't just have a piece of the rock. They got the whole thing. And that's something I like about God. He pours out his blessings abundantly. Remember one of the things that Jesus told us, that he came to give us life more abundantly in 1 John. And I leave this point in this particular verse with this thought. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 31 through 39, a rhetorical question is asked. What can separate a man from the love of God? Can tribulation? Can trial? Can adversity? Can peril? Can the sword? Can adversity? Can any of that separate us? Nope. Not unless we give in and allow it to do so. Brethren, there are things in this life that test our mettle. Something that Ben mentioned in his prayer this morning goes along with this particular verse. He talked about testing that the Lord puts us through to make us better people. And I believe sometimes we forget that because there are tests and struggles that we have in life, and they do serve a purpose. What they do is prepare us for the next mountain that we will have to climb. And brethren, if we're really honest and we're really looking at things in reality, you know what we do in this life? We climb mountains. We climb one after the other. And every time that we climb one, God is preparing us for the next one that will be set before us. And you know, the most comforting thing about that It's not that we're going to have to climb those mountains, not that they are something that we look forward to, not that they're pleasant to go through, but the thing that's comforting is I don't do it alone. God helps me to overcome. And you know what? That is worth more to me than all the gold, all the silver, and anything this life can offer me. That assurance is blessing, and we should appreciate it, and we should understand that He will lead us home. The second verse to this song is pretty similar to the first verse. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near and the day is past gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. You know, we all need friends. We even need them in good times, believe it or not. Yet how much more when we are troubled and burdened? You know, friends are a wonderful thing. Sometimes you don't know what you'll do with them. Sometimes you don't know what you'll do without them. But good friends, true friends, lasting friends are something that you can't have too many of. But I want to suggest to you tonight that the greatest friend that you will ever have, the greatest friend that you could ever hope to have, and the one that will never let you down is one called Jesus Christ. He is a true friend in every respect of the word friend. He can take our hand and lead us through the darkest storms of life to that beautiful home that is light, that is radiant, that awaits for those who love Him. He can take our hand and lead us through tribulations with our everyday struggles that beat against us, or whether it's the burden of sin that presses so heavy upon us. Jesus is a friend. You know, we sing a song later on in this particular series, I hope, to deal with that. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, you should sometimes read the verses to that song and the truth that's contained in that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. We have no greater friend. Do you truly believe that that's true? And you know how you can know in your life? You know how you can know if Jesus truly is your friend? When you hurt, when you are struggling, and when you are weak, who do you turn to first? If it's not the Lord, He's not as good a friend as you think He is. Because if He was, that's who you would turn to first. You know why? Because we turn to where our strength is at. Where is our strength as children of God? Is it in Christ? Always has been, always will be. The Lord understands what we're going through. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 15, it says he sympathizes with us and He is touched by our infirmities. Why? Because in like manner, He was tempted in all ways such as we are. God understands. You know, sometimes when somebody's going through a difficult time in their life, we make the statement, I know how it is, I understand. Well, let me tell you something, brethren. Sometimes I know we mean well. I know that we're trying to be an encouragement. I know we're trying to uplift somebody, but let me tell you something in all honesty. There's times that you cannot understand. There's times that you really do not understand what a person is going through unless you've been there. And you know, that's sometimes we can do more by just being there than by saying anything. By just being there says volumes to the person about our love and concern for them. And you know, there's another statement we often make. Take courage. Tomorrow's another day and everything will be all right. You know, I know we hope that's true, but sometimes tomorrow isn't all right. Tomorrow is greater than the day that you just faced. And we need to understand that God does understand. God does understand the problems that we undergo. You know, sometimes our friends and brethren who love us, as much as they love us, sometimes they can't understand. But that's not so with Jesus Christ. Does He know what it means to suffer? In Matthew 8:20, it says He didn't have a place to lay His head. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, we're told that He would come into His own, and His own would receive Him not. A friend betrayed Him in Matthew 26:14 through 16. Another trusted disciple denied that he ever knew Him three times in Matthew 26:69 through 75. And in His most needed hour, in His time of greatest need, in his time of greatest tribulation, the 12 men that he spent so much of his life teaching and loving and instructing, in his hour of greatest need, what did they do? They fled him and they deserted him. Matthew 26, 56. He was beaten. He was scourged. He bled. He was ridiculed. He was spat upon. He was mocked. He was sent to the cruel death on the cross as an innocent man. You know what? There's never been anyone that's ever lived upon the face of God's earth that's been more misunderstood than Jesus Christ. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 38, Peter summed up his life in his message to Cornelius that he was a man that went about doing good. He knows what it needs. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be tempted. He knows what it means to be in anguish. He knows what it means to seem like you're alone. He knows what it means to have adversity. He knows what it means to have pain at heart. He knows what it means to be hurt by ones who are dearest and closest to us. Jesus Christ understands. And that's why he can help. And that's why when we stand at the proverbial river, that we can take his hand and he can lead us across and he can lead us home. Brethren, in life, one of the things that I am most thankful for is the proverbial continuing care of my Father in heaven. But I want to add one more point here, and that is our relationship as brethren. In my short life, I've had my share of difficulty. But I can honestly say in my heart that if it weren't for my brethren, some of the things that I've faced would have overtaken me and would have whipped me had it not been for the love, the encouragement, and the steadfastness of people who love me as if they were my own family. And brethren, that is something that money cannot buy. That is something that's worth more than you will ever understand until you've been there. And I hope and I pray that in my life, if that time ever comes for you, that you have enough confidence in me and believe that I have enough love in me for you, that you will come to me and let me help you. I can't take the burden away. I can't make the void or the pain in your heart any duller, but I can be there to help you bear and overcome it. But let me tell you, God will never ever let you go that road alone. That should be a great source of comfort to every one of you. The last verse tonight, verse number 3. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. In this verse, when I don't know where to turn, I can know that Jesus can lead me to the light. Jesus wants to take my hand and help. Have you ever cried out in difficulty of life, nobody cares? That statement should never, ever, ever be uttered by a child of God. That nobody cares, because God always cares. The plain truth is that no one cares like Jesus. We have another song in our book, Does Jesus Care? Read the words of that song sometime. Yes, Jesus does care. Jesus cares that man is lost in sin. And he cared so much that he was willing to die in Romans 5 and verse 8 that man might have hope and a way out of his sin. He was rich, yet he became poor that we might become rich, according to Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, and 2 Corinthians 8, and verse 9, though he was rich, he became poor for our sake. Jesus can offer us true rest. In Matthew chapter 11, which is referred to by many as the Lord's invitation, there's a comforting three verses here at the end of the 11th chapter of Matthew. These are the words of Jesus himself while he was upon earth. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is waiting to help us, but we must allow him to do so. You remember what Jesus did when he looked over Jerusalem in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and he looked over Jerusalem knowing the desolation that was soon to come to pass. And you remember what he said in verse 37, O Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, those who stoned the prophets that are sent to her, how I would have gathered you as a chick, a hen gathered her chick under their wings, but you were not willing for me to do so. You know, one of the things that have been very compelling to me as we go through the Old Testament is God's continuing opening up his arms to help his people. And the more that he did it, the more they rebuffed him. You know, it's hard for me to comprehend of all the things that God did for a people who were so indignant, so ungrateful, so unthankful, but he continued to try to help them. There only can be one reason why. He loved them. He loved them deeper and longer than they could even grasp or imagine. James said we don't receive help sometimes because we don't ask. James 4, verse 2 and 3. He also says in that text that we don't receive help because the help that we ask for, we ask in a selfish motive. God truly desires to help us. The blessings are there, but they refuse to seek his help or guidance. Some, when they finally do want to come, they come by their own route. They come with their own selfish desires, and then in the same breath they said, see, I came, but he didn't help me. No, you didn't come in the right, with the right attitude and with the right purpose. We need to approach God with confidence. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me ask you something. Do you have that much confidence in God? Do you boldly come before the throne of grace and mercy? Or are you a little timid, a little shy, a little reserved? Let me ask you an honest question tonight. Who's in a better possible position to help us than God? Who can help us better than God can? Who knows us better? Who has more power? Who has more compassion? Who has more love for us? Who has more care for us? Who gave his life for us? Who was that? It was God. It was his son. Now, who's in a better position to help us in time of need? We need to really appreciate what God has done and what he continues to do for us as we live upon this earth. When you're at the end and you need immediate help, make sure you reach for the only one that can help you. You remember the words of the Apostle Peter in Philippians chapter 4 when he made the concluding remark in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know what he said a little bit before that in verse 6? He said, make your request known unto God. Now why do we need to do that? Because Matthew 6, Jesus himself said, that God knows what we need even before we ask. So why must I make my request known to God when he already knows what I need? It's to demonstrate faith. It's to demonstrate my dependency. And it also demonstrates humbleness that I am not as great as I think I am. That I am dependent on God. He is not dependent upon me. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there anything too small to pray about? Is there anything in your life that's just too much to take it to God in prayer? Is there anything in life that is just too burdensome to ask God about? You know something, brethren? If it's bothering you, if it's hindering you, if it's discouraging you, then you need to take it to God in prayer. Whatever it is. No matter how small or trivial you think it is. No matter how much you think you're pestering it. If it's causing you to be weak. If it's causing you to stumble, if it's causing you to waver a little bit, then it's necessary for you to take it to God. And it's necessary that you have the confidence that you can take it to God. We can pray for past for the forgiveness of our past sins. We can pray for the present to help deal with problems that we are now facing. And we can pray for the future to the things that lie ahead of us. And that God will help us and He will lead us. And last, do you believe that something happens when you pray? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12 that he does not turn his ear away from the righteous. But the sinner he does, but the righteous he does not. God does not turn a deaf ear to his children. Maybe there's another problem. Maybe it's we don't like his answers. Maybe one reason you might not pray as much as you ought to is because you don't like what God tells you when you pray. And brethren, that may be a problem. And that's something that we can remedy if we trust and we have confidence and faith that he can help us. I want to read you a statement made by Job. Now, you want to talk about suffering? You want to talk about tribulation? You want to talk about adversity? We can spend the rest of the night and we can spend a couple lessons talking about the great man Job. But I want to read you a statement that Job made in Job chapter 13 while he was struggling to understand the whys of what he was going through. I want to read you a statement that he said in verse 15 of Job 13. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Do you trust God that much? That even if your life was taken, you still would trust him. You still would go to him and trust his will and his recourse. Do you have that much faith and trust in God tonight? You know, the Lord is precious indeed. I leave you tonight in this third verse. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. Brethren, life at times can throw you a curveball. There are times when nothing will make sense. There are times when you don't know where to turn. There are times when you don't know why you have to go through this struggle that you're going through. There are times when you wonder what you did wrong. There are times you wonder what you left undone that you should have done. There are times that you second-guess yourself to the point that you just beat yourself up to a proverbial pulp because you just over and over blame yourself. But brethren, let me give you some advice tonight from God's book. Take it to God. Let him take your hand. Let him lead you through the storm. Let him lead you through the adversity. Let him lead you through the darkness. And let him lead you to the light. And I guarantee you, he will lead you there. It may be a hard road. It may not be easy. It may be filled with pain and tears and agony and suffering. But when you get to the end, and when it's over, and when you look back, one thing you know, he kept his promise. He led you to the light. He led you through the storm. And now you're ready for whatever life can throw at you again. Tonight, I want to encourage, if there are any here who are not children of God, this is a battle that you are fighting right now by yourself. This is a battle that even though you might love God, even though you may believe in God, you have yet to take the step that proves your trust in him. And that step is obedience to the gospel of Christ. That demonstrates your confidence that God will do what he promised to do. And what did God promise to do? If we'll take the step of faith, as sometimes I refer to as a leap of faith, if we will hear and believe and repent, if we'll confess and we'll be buried in that watery grave, God will do what he promised to do. He will wash away our sins. He will take away the burden that presses against us, and he can make us white as snow. He can do that tonight for you if you're a Christian, and, or if you're not a Christian. But I want to talk for just 1 minute to those of my brethren. Take your song books up and turn to page 104. That is our invitation song tonight, the song that I just talked about. If you're here and you're my brother or sister in Christ, and you're having difficulty, and you're having difficult times, I wish I could tell that I could make it better, but I can tell you I know someone who can, and that is God. Take it to God. Lean upon Him for what you cannot do for yourself. And I guarantee you, it may not make it any more pleasant, but when it is over, and when the storm is past, it will reaffirm your faith that through the night and through the darkness, He kept His promise. And if you will let Him help you, He will help you. He will guide you, and He will lead you through the night. And if you're here and you need to make some corrections in your life, you need to make a course adjustment. You know, we all make mistakes. We all fall short. Nothing tragic in and of itself. God told us we'd do that. But the tragedy is that we don't make adjustments. We don't make the course corrections when we have time and opportunity. Don't die waiting. Do something about it while you have time and opportunity. And as we stand in just a moment to sing this song, I want you to consider the words that you're singing. And I want you to ask yourself, do you believe what you're saying? Do you really believe the words that you're about to sing? And do you believe them? And the proof in the pudding, so to speak, is when the time gets tough, where do you turn? Where do you go? Take His hand. Let Him lead you home as together we stand.